Head of UNRWA says more children have been killed during Israel's genocide in Gaza than in 4 years of conflict around the world. About 100 European academics condemn Israel's genocide in Gaza, saying the regime is systematically erasing the territory's education system. And a group of human rights NGOs are filing a lawsuit against Denmark to force the country to end its arms exports to Israel amid the Gaza genocide. Unrelenting Israeli airstrikes continue to target Palestinians fasting in the holy month of Ramadan as hopes are fading for a ceasefire in Gaza. Regime's latest airstrikes have claimed 11 Palestinian lives in the central city of Deir al-Balah. Local reports say Israeli shelling there continues up to this very moment. To the north, the Jabalia refugee camp and its vicinity are still key targets. This, as the Gaza Health Ministry says, aid reaching the north is insufficient while widespread hunger prevails in the area. And now moving to the south, the entire city of Khan Yunis continues to witness daily shelling as Israeli forces have blown up a number of residential structures there. According to the Gaza Media Office, over 400 Palestinians have been killed while waiting in line for life-saving aid since March 1st. The Palestinian death toll since October the 7th now stands at 31,200, most of them women and children. Qatar, which has been trying to mediate between Israel and Hamas, says the two sides are not close to a ceasefire deal in Gaza.
So the situation is very complicated on the ground. We are not near a deal, meaning that we are not seeing both sides converging on a language that can resolve the current disagreements over the implementation of the deal. But we remain hopeful, and we continue pushing for a deal to happen in the near future.
Qatari official said a potential deal requires an end to Israel's bloodshed in Gaza, as well as continuous flow of humanitarian aid. Announcement comes as months of talks involving the U.S., Qatar, and Egypt have failed to bring the Israeli genocide to an end. Hamas has blamed Israel for failure to reach an agreement, saying the regime is not serious about one and is merely buying time. The resistance movement has also said that it has shown great flexibility in negotiations, but will not settle for anything less than a full cessation of Israeli aggression and the withdrawal of all occupation forces from Gaza. The UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres, in a message on the occasion of the holy month of Ramadan, has called for an immediate ceasefire in Gaza to honor the spirit of this month.
Today marks the start of the holy month of Ramadan, a period when Muslims around the world celebrate and spread the values of peace, reconciliation, and solidarity. Yet, even though Ramadan has begun, the killing, bombing, and bloodshed continue in Gaza. My strongest appeal today is to honor the spirit of Ramadan by silencing the guns and removing all obstacles to ensure the delivery of life-saving aid at the speed and massive scale required.
Around 100 leading European academics have slammed what they call Israel's systematic annihilation of the educational system in Gaza. The scholars have signed a protest petition formulated by the EuroMed Human Rights Monitor. According to official reports, 70% of the Gaza Strip's universities have been completely demolished. Also, the Palestinian Ministry of Education says around 4,300 students have been killed and thousands injured during ongoing Israeli airstrikes. All this has been documented in the petition. The written appeal stresses such attacks on civilian objects constitutes grave breach of international law and falls under the definition of genocide. It also calls for a boycott of Israeli academic institutions supporting the occupation of Palestine. Over 180 British academics have also recently signed a separate petition denouncing the Israeli onslaught on Gaza, especially targeting academics and students. The UN says the number of Palestinian children killed during the first 4 months of Israel's onslaught on Gaza has topped all those killed in over 4 years of conflicts around the world. Now, head of the UN Agency for Palestinian Refugees, UNRWA, made the remark in a post on his X account. Philippe Lazzarini said UN figures show around 12,200 children have been killed in conflicts around the world between 2019 and 2022. That's while, according to the Gaza Health Ministry, more than 12,300 Palestinian children have been killed since early October. The UNRWA chief also said that what's going on in Gaza is a war on children, their childhood, and their future. A group of the world's most prominent human rights groups plan to sue the Danish government for its export of arms to Israel amid the regime's ongoing onslaught on Gazans. Now, a group has cited concerns that exported weapons are being used to commit serious crimes against Palestinians in Gaza. According to the statement, the case will be filed against Denmark's Ministry of Foreign Affairs and National Police, which are in charge of approving the country's sales of military hardware. Meanwhile, the legal firm representing the NGOs said it will bring the case to a Copenhagen district court within the next 3 weeks. Based on the UN Arms Trade Treaty, countries must ensure that exports of arms and military equipment are not in violation of international law. Back in January, the International Court of Justice concluded Israel's actions in Gaza could constitute genocide. And now over to the occupied West Bank, where two more Palestinians are killed by regime forces at a military checkpoint northwest of Al-Quds. The Palestinian Red Crescent says victims were 16 and 23 years old. These fatalities bring number of Palestinians killed in the occupied West Bank on Tuesday to three. Now earlier, a 13-year-old Palestinian was killed by Israeli forces in the Shuafat refugee camp. You can see right there on your screen. A video circulating online shows the moment the child was directly targeted and shot by an Israeli sniper. Israel's far-right security minister, Itamar Ben-Gvir, has hailed the Israeli sniper who shot dead this Palestinian teenager. Israel's carried out raids throughout the occupied West Bank almost on a daily basis since the regime began its onslaught on Gaza in early October. The acts of aggression have left over 400 Palestinians dead. Israel regime has carried out a series of new airstrikes on Lebanon, triggering retaliatory rocket attacks from Hezbollah against occupied territories. According to Lebanese officials, Israeli strikes hit the eastern city of Baalbek and its vicinity. Some of the airstrikes targeted Taraya, about 20 kilometers west of Baalbek, and this is the first time that Israel's pounded eastern Lebanon since the eruption of exchanges of fire between the regime and Hezbollah. In its response, Hezbollah fired over 100 rockets toward Israeli positions. The resistance movement said it will continue attacking Israeli targets until the regime stops its genocide in Gaza. But the Israeli regime has recently carried out aerial raids even on residential neighborhoods inside Lebanon. Earlier, we were joined by our correspondent in Beirut, Mariam Saleh, for more about the latest exchange of fire between Israel and Hezbollah.
They do target Baalbek and eastern Lebanon in the vicinity of the cities of Taraya and Baalbek itself. We know that there was total destruction of the buildings that were targeted, and one person has been killed. Previous time, also, it was more of an open area that was targeted the previous time, like agricultural lands. There was some sort of a residence there, but that also led to the killing of two Hezbollah members. And now with this in place, it seems that Hezbollah has basically become impatient with the Israelis' presumptuousness when it comes to how they are targeting Lebanon. The fact that they're trying to put a lot of pressure on the resistance and on Lebanon itself, with the fact that you do have some opposition from Hezbollah's political foes when it comes to Hezbollah's supportive front for the resistance inside Gaza and for the people of Gaza. And so it seemed that this is why Hezbollah had, in retaliation, launched some, we're talking about more than 50 50 rockets that were witnessed or that were reported in some areas. The Israelis are talking about more than 100 rockets from on two different rounds. A group of rockets was against the Galilee region. Another salvo was against in the Golan Heights. And it seemed that many of them landed and struck their targets. And how that will play out also is another surprise. And the number of rockets that Hezbollah is showing day by day, seemingly increasing and targeting areas that are further off. Yesterday, for example, they targeted areas in the Golan Heights more and more. And so it seemed that for Hezbollah, they are basically unifying the land when it comes to how they target and what they target.
Leader of Iran's Islamic Revolution says resistance in Palestine will eventually bring Israel to its knees. Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei made the remark during a meeting with the distinguished Iranian Quran reciters and activists. He said resistance is still standing strong after months of heavy fighting. Ayatollah Khamenei also called for an end to any assistance to Israel by some Muslim countries. He said those governments helping Israel are committing crimes and will be punished for their treason. The Islamic movement in Nigeria has held a protest against a massacre of innocent Palestinians in Gaza. Protesters marched on the U.S. Embassy in the capital Abuja and staged a sit-in. Danjuma Abdullahi has your details.
On the first day of the holy month of Ramadan in Nigeria, the Islamic movement held a rally through the streets of the capital, Abuja, in a peaceful protest against the massacre of innocent civilians in Gaza. The protest march took the demonstrators to the gate of the United States Embassy, where they sat down and submitted a letter of protest condemning the Israeli genocide in Gaza and U.S. involvement in the killing of innocent Palestinians.
America is one of the major party in this killing of innocent female and children in Gaza. Since October 7th to date, they have killed more than 31,000 innocent people, majorly female and children in Gaza.
The demonstrators blame the United States and British governments for using their influence to block a UN resolution calling for a ceasefire. They said every decent government has condemned the Israeli terror attacks on the Palestinians, but the U.S. government has continued to support the mass murder of innocent Palestinians.
They are killing female and children. They are imposing starvation on innocent female and children. Babies have been seen under rubble, crying inside blood. We see a lot of fathers carrying a lifeless body of their children killed by Israelis. Anybody that has concern for humanity should come out today on the street and show his solidarity with Palestinians.
The demonstrators burned the U.S. and Israeli flags as they slammed Tel Aviv's regime impunity and the silence of the international community. Many Muslims in Nigeria believe that Israel's continuous killing of Palestinians in Gaza on the eve of the holy month of Ramadan is a clear proof of the regime's disrespect for Islamic sanctities. The protesters here are urging world leaders to pressure Israel to end the massacre in Gaza. Danjuma Abdullahi, Abuja.
Chinese and Russian vessels have come to Iran's territorial waters for a joint maritime exercise in the northern Indian Ocean. Drills will continue until Friday, with representatives of several countries also participating as observer states. Here's a report.
Russia Navy warship, and China Navy warship. This is Iranian Navy warship 235. I call you on channel 16. Do you read me? Over.
The Maritime Security Belt 2024 has officially kicked off with Russian and Chinese vessels entering Iran's territorial waters south of the country on Tuesday. The naval and airborne units of Iran's army and the IRGC, along with their Chinese and Russian counterparts, will participate in various operations during this exercise. Naval delegations from Azerbaijan, Pakistan, Kazakhstan, Oman, and South Africa have also taken part as observer states. At the first stage of the drill, the naval officers of the three countries as well as the observer states reviewed different phases of the exercise on maps and held tactical briefings. Later, the naval commanders of Iran, Russia, and China held a joint presser. The Iranian Navy's deputy commander said the main aim of the joint exercise is to help safeguard security in the northern part of the Indian Ocean.
Upholding peace and security in the north of Indian Ocean and having a specialized cooperation in combating piracy and terrorism in our region are among the main goals of this exercise. We are constantly working to improve this cooperation.
Meanwhile, Chinese and Russian Navy commanders said the joint exercise further demonstrates the preparedness of the participating countries to maintain security while also deepening their practical cooperation. 2024 is the fifth consecutive year that the Islamic Republic of Iran's Navy is hosting countries participating in the Maritime Security Belt drills in the northern Indian Ocean region.
This year's naval drills have kicked off under the motto Together for Peace and Security, with participating countries highlighting the importance of jointly safeguarding regional security. Mahdi Abbasian, Konarak.
And that's it for your latest. Thanks for tuning in, and goodbye for now.
We are with you. What about you? Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio.
Kids. Their little hearts are shattering out of fear. Explosion? Whose home was destroyed? Do you know the owner of the house? Are they familiar to you? Anyway, they are a human, just like you. You know, after every explosion, the kid starts shivering like hell and never gets back to the person he was before. Listen, the destiny of the people in this land has been interwoven with the children's cries for 75 years. Look at that, mother. the mother who is pressing her dead child to her chest. And over there, a father is standing on the rubble of his hopes. Here's just the smell of blood and gunpowder. Do you know how terrible the smell of burnt soil, the traces of blood everywhere, homelessness, darkness, starvation, and thirst is? A mother moans, a father screams, and a kid is no longer laughing. I'll narrate them. I will narrate the wounds which need time to heal. And the resistance will guarantee a bright future for them for sure.
Gaza Vibes.
Be calm, my little daughter. Be a hopeful baby. I know you're hungry, but please forgive me. I know you're cold, darling. I am cold too. I will never get warm. I know the secret behind the seasons. I know that the spring comes soon. We should pin our hopes on God. That is why your father Ahmad named you Amal. So be calm, my hope. Let me tell you a story. This is the first, or maybe the last story that your mother tells you. The story of me, Ahmad, your brother Amr, and you, Amal. We had a beautiful home in Beit Lahia. Our home was small, but it was very beautiful. Oh, I can still remember the olive groves your great-grandfather had planted in our garden years before we were born. Your father and I had both lost our families in one of the Zionist regime's attacks, so we just had each other. Ahmad was a teacher and I took care of Amr at home. Oh, Amr, your brother would have gone to school this fall. The Zionist attacks had just started and many had lost their lives in these assaults. You know, my daughter, being a mother is an endless struggle for protecting your children. With the autumn's arrival, before the leaves fall, bombs started raining down. It was almost noon. Ahmad had gone to Beit Hanun and Amr was at school. That suddenly, asked where the bombs were falling down. I panicked then. Amr! Oh my God, Amr! The window's glasses had been shattered into pieces. I went out with difficulty and I saw people running toward the main street. Every step I took forward, I felt I was getting close to the school. I asked, where was the stroke? Someone shouted, the school. Oh, Amr, my son.
Hiya, hiya, hiya.
When I got conscious, I saw Ahmed beside the school's rubble. I screamed, Amr, my son, Amr. Your father searched for your brother's body, but what he found was just a piece of burnt cloth. The next day, Ahmed took us to Jabalia by his friend's car. The situation there was not better. We then moved to Khan Yunis, where we are now. And I gave birth to you in a tent here. Oh, we were very hungry and had no food to eat. Ahmed went out to fetch some food, but he was able to bring food that was enough for just a week. But once he decided to go fishing, as his forefathers did as their profession. As the Zionist regime forces attacked the Gaza fishermen even prior to the war, Ahmed chose to go fishing at night. He told me, I'll come back with food. Was when Ahmed went to where Amr was. And here's just you and I, Ahmed. My dear girl, I am hopeful. Thank God, we're still at home. Here in Gaza, Palestine, our ancestral land. If we are destined to die, we choose to die here in our homeland. Oh, look at there. It's Ahmad and Amr. Darling, they are your father and brother. They have come to meet us.
This program is dedicated to the martyrs of Gaza.
IRIB English Radio presents
Viewpoints.
Viewpoints.
With the presence of different scholars.
The presence of different scholars. IRIB English Radio.
Assalamu alaikum to dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is Viewpoints, an analysis on the thoughts and speeches of the leader of Iran, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei. I'm Atta, the host of this program. With me in the studio are two guest speakers from the Islamic House of Qom, Sheikh Sadiq and Brother Ali. Assalamu alaikum to both of you.
Wa alaikum assalam wa
rahmatullah.
Very welcome to the show, Viewpoints. So regarding the speeches of the leader of Iran on the concept of human being, and the we can say the most important speeches that the rahbar gave on the role that the human being might have in today's world, there have been a series of discussions, and we try to get into the different dimensions and angles of the life of the human beings. So for today's discussion, we want to be concerned with a very important topic as tackled by the leader of the Islamic Ummah, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, and that is the position of men and women in Islam. So, Sheikh Sadiq, let's start with you, brother. From outside, you know, the religion of Islam is criticized because of not in giving the same importance to the position of men and women in its religion, I mean in Islam. Is it so? This is a very simple question.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. If you look at Islam just by considering the judicial system and the fiqh system, which is the most superficial level of religion, you could get that idea. But if you look at Islam in depth, if you look at the ahadith, if you look at the Quran, it's definitely the other way around. The way Islam looks at human, whether you're man or woman, min dhakarin aw untha, there's no difference.
Okay.
Spirit of a man is absolutely equal to spirit of a man. There's no difference there.
A woman.
The difference, yeah. The difference starts when we look at the physical aspect of human, when we look at the body. The bodies are obviously different.
Okay.
And the part of the mind that is interconnected with the body,
yes,
with emotions, with the hormones, with the way the brain works,
yes,
all of these obviously have some differences. But the spirit and the path of development, mm-hmm, self-development that we have, yes, towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is absolutely the same. And the differences that are introduced in the judicial system and in the societal norms and everything else is only based on the differences in body and
that's
physical
right
form of human and woman that nobody denies.
and see how much the religion of Islam brought peace to the women's society.
Exactly.
On that time in Arab Peninsula, because, you know, the women were under the control, absolute control of the aristocrats of the tribal, and the tribal looked at the women, you know, that the families were dishonored by having a daughter born, because this was the man who had the power, and the girls were buried alive. So how see how much the religion of Islam, Prophet Muhammad, might bring peace to the women and gives importance to the position of the femininity of the females in the society with the role that it has. Just look how much role Lady Khadija had in the life of Prophet Muhammad, distributing, you know, Islam all here and there, and, you know, spending out of her own wealth for the sake of Islam. These are all, I think, if we look at it historically speaking, according to the historical
facts. That's one of the arguments.
Yeah.
That's a good argument, but it's not the perfect argument.
Okay.
You know what? Because it's looking at the progress of Islam in terms of gender equality at that time. Like, you made some progress at that time, but what about now?
Mm-hmm.
You've been the same for 400 years.
Yes.
So... 1400 years, I'm sorry.
Yes.
So you've been the same.
Yes.
Are you going to make some progress now?
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing we can say is, like, we're waiting for our imam to come and make more progress.
That's all right.
But if we need to have the perfect argument, we need to look at the fundamentals.
That's right.
Not just the judicial system and the fiqh issues.
All right. Yes. And you know, so Brother Ali, let's get to you. The position of men and women in Islam. Is it at all good to look for the equal position of men and women in Islam? Because sometimes I think that even women are higher than men, because they have the talents, you know, and the potentials and the powers inside that the men do not have. So why, for example, considering men as equal to women? You know, of course, it is upside down. Usually, they say that men are higher than women, okay? But the case is that somehow I can see the women can do something that the men are unable to do that. Even physically speaking, in their own nature, according to their emotion, and according to the power they have. Is it at all good to look at the men and women as the same or equal?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, and his immaculate progeny. You are right, brother. The rights of men and women in Islam are same. Actually, Islam respects men as much as it respects women. So there is no difference in the right that Islam actually dedicates to the different creatures, different entities like that of men and women. But again, I want to approve whatever you said, that when we are looking at the Islamic text, or let's say Islamic narrations, and even the value that Islam gives to women, it seems that as if that women are even higher in rank than the men.
Yes.
But Islam wants the actually equality of the rights of men and women.
Okay.
But it is one of the main factors in the revolution of Islam, at the dawn of Islam, let's say, I call it revolution, was that Islam brought the respect and actually brought an honor and respect to the women that was never seen before.
Yes.
Look, when at the time that the girls or the infant babies were actually massacred and they were buried alive, Islam comes and respects women, starting with Lady Khadija salamu alayhi, who was actually one of the key figures in supporting Islam, and then Lady Fatima salamu alayha. You see, the role of this respected and valued lady in Islam is that much that is called Sayyidatina Sala Alameen.
Yes.
She is too high. When we are looking at her personality and character, when we study about her, we see that even few men reach to her status. Oh, and I mean, the men, a man should be infallible to her level to reach her. So ordinary men even are not able to reach to the level of this grand lady of Islam.
Even the Holy Quran gives importance to the position of the women as the role models, you know.
Yes.
Before Islam, you know, we could see, for example, the mother of Jesus Christ, the mother of Prophet Moses. You know, these are all the cases that have been mentioned in the Holy Quran as the good women or the chaste women. So Islam was not only concerned with the women at its own time,
yeah,
but the generations from religions beforehand, and it gives position to them, something which must be maybe very much neglected by the other religions too.
Unlike those schools of thought, or let's say those cultures that degrade the role of women, Islam actually, as I said, respects the role of women and chants it very highly and very loudly that women is respected. We see in the Holy Quran, the worst of people is introduced as a woman, and also the best of people is also introduced as a woman. Wife of Pharaoh,
yes,
is a good role model for the best of people, and also the worst of them, the wives of Lut and Imra'at and
Prophet
Nuh and Lut, the wives of Nuh the prophet and Lut the prophet. So it means that, and at the same time, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to talk about the best of creatures inside, among his creatures of men and women, he actually names a lady, and the worst of them is also at the same time a lady. But unlike others that actually introduce the woman as, let's say, a byside product of the creation, so it's not what actually Islam looks at.
That's right. This has role, I think, in, especially in the Western look, yeah, and the Christian theology too, you know.
Very true.
Especially in the dark ages of the church that they had, and the look that they had as the women as the evil part of the society, or witches.
And now,
and burning them alive, you know, as the witches, or for example, imprisoning them for so many and secluding them from the society.
You're right. It can be seen and traced in that.
Yes.
It is rooted there, but it is still alive, this concept. And mm-hmm, when you have a sort of instrumental look at women in, okay, your today life in a humanistic worldview, so it seems that the same old actually belief is still available and is still surviving.
Yes.
So when you actually show the personality and character of women for the benefit and enjoyment of men, so it means that you are actually violating her rights.
That's right.
So she is not, as I said, a byproduct, if I'm using this term mm-hmm rightly, of another entity or another existence.
Yes.
Woman needs to be valued to the extent that her rights are actually are kept for her.
That's right.
So, as I said, the kind of instrumental look is now seen in other than Islamic, actually, worldview. When ladies are used to, for example, come to advertise a product for a company, why not a man? Why should a lady come? Because they want to say that, okay, due to this beauty or this fineness of the creation, she is suitable for this purpose.
But the instrumental look at the men is also available in the Western world too. You know, I think that especially the Western world has got misunderstood the position of women. And the women are looking after the rights in the wrong picture that has been made for them. Because the women nowadays, especially in the feminism and the feminist look that they have, are looking for the instrumental look of the men too. And this is absolutely the materialistic look, the bodily physical look that the men and women have at each other and are looking after their own rights in this framework. But let's get out of this framework. I mean, let's get into the true position of men and women. You know, I hope that the dear listeners got me right, that all the movements nowadays that are looking after the rights of the women in the Western world are exactly playing in the same field that the men have been playing for so many years.
Yeah.
This is the problem. This is the problem that we have. Why not, you know, let's get extreme. Some of them say, why not a man getting pregnant? See how much a look at the body and the physics of a man can take. Why not a man? Or why not doing this? Why not doing that? You know, these are neglecting the absolute powers of the men and women in the society, because we are looking at it just for these 50, 60 years of life, and that's all. So what is the true position of men and women in this life? Is it so? I mean, give me an answer.
Let me give you a short, actually, compliment on what you said, brother. When I'm talking about instrumental look at women, it does not actually mean that there is no instrumental look at men. No, it is. But majority of this actually look is much more higher than the other. We mostly see women doing advertisement, so it's not something that we can actually ignore and we deny. So it means that it is available, but at the other hand, for men are also used as, for example, this kind of look actually is being prescribed for men as well. But when I'm talking about the majority, it means this become a sort of, let's say, movement, a sort of, let's say, current concept.
I think you mentioned a very key concept in this subject. The meat of the problem is that the Western world doesn't acknowledge human as a spirit that is experiencing a body, as a spirit that is riding a body, the way religion and Islam looks at human. They see human as just a body. Right, it's just physical, so they cannot pinpoint what the problem is. That's the root of this struggle. They're trying to find the problem, but they cannot, because they have a much more fundamental problem in their worldview.
That's right.
So they sense the consequences. They see the problems of this inequality, but because they're only looking at human as the physical form of human. And the physical form is definitely different. No one can say that men and human don't have any difference in their bodily, in their physical form, right?
That's right.
So they cannot pinpoint where the problem is. But if you believe that we are spirits that are experiencing different bodies in different continents, in different countries, in different situations, different IQ levels, different talents, then we can understand that, yes, the spirit is the same for all people, and then we're experiencing different physical forms. We have different limitations, different restrictions.
That's right.
And different possibilities because of our body.
Yes.
And then the instrumentation problem that you mentioned, as you said, it's not just for women.
Yes.
For the modern world, for the capitalistic world, there's the 1% or sub 1% group that are ruling the world, and the 99%, all of them are just instruments for them, right? Okay. Whether you're a man or a woman.
That's right.
How can I use you to get to my goals? Can I use you for advertisement? Mm-hmm. I'm going to use you there.
Yes.
Can I use you as a labor force? I'm going to use you there. So we're all instruments for that system. Based on different physical talents or possibilities that we have, we're going to be used for that system. This is why they cannot fix this equality problem until they acknowledge that human is the spirit and it has a different goal. It's not just here to live like an animal, reproduce, eat, and die someday. We're here to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and be khalifa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Thank you very much, Sheikh Sadiq and Brother Ali, for a nice elaboration regarding the topic of position of men and women in the society according to the speeches of the leader of the Islamic Ummah, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei. And dear listeners, thank you very much for listening to us. This is Real Points. I'm Atta, the host of this program. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.com/Ian Call of Islam page. Also, you can visit our YouTube channel and Instagram page, Call of Islam Radio. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
The same when I'm too concerned by what they say. Why should I wanna have you to doubt you would be the worst mistake? Deep inside I know that amidst all the darkness and everything which makes no sense, I know that you exist. Guides me through my darkest nights, shows me right from wrong in a world that often lies. Cause I don't need anyone, anything in life but you. No, I don't need anyone to show me my way. No, I don't need anyone but you.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
In the limelight.
In Britain, the accounting firm BDO has warned of future impact of fraudsters using artificial intelligence to rip off customers. The amount of fraud in Britain more than doubled to £2.3 billion in 2023, according to a new report. We take a look at the British media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. The British newspaper The Guardian has covered this story and tells us more. The accounting firm BDO has warned of future impact of fraudsters using artificial intelligence to rip off customers. The amount of fraud committed in the United Kingdom more than doubled to £2.3 billion in 2023, marking the second biggest year for scams in the last two decades, according to a report that also warns of the future impact of fraudsters using artificial intelligence to rip off their customers. The accounting firm's BDO's latest fraud track report found that number of reported cases rose by 18% to a three-year high, and the number of high-value cases over £50 million increased by 60% year-on-year in 2023. Half of the high-value frauds were over £200 million. The accounting firm BDO said factors behind the overall rise included the growing popularity of online scams, phishing and system breaches, as well as authorised push payments transactions, where fraudsters trick people into transferring money to them. Analysis of the data over the last decade shows the number of reported cases of fraud is rising, and the amounts involved are getting bigger, according to Kaylee Crosthwaite, a partner at accounting firm BDO. Kaylee Crosthwaite said, "And we believe that it is likely to continue to do so. The sad reality is that the fraudsters will be looking to stay one step ahead by exploiting new options like artificial intelligence." British banks have warned of an epidemic of scams. Barclays said last year that more than 70% of scams were happening on social media sites, online marketplaces, and dating apps. London and the southeast of England remained the biggest fraud hotspot, with a 170% year-on-year increase in value as a result of several high-profile cases, and a 43% increase in reported cases. The British newspaper The Times has also covered the same story and tells us more. The amount of fraud committed in the United Kingdom more than doubled to £2.3 billion in 2023, according to a new report. The accounting firm BDO's latest Fraud Track report found that the number of reported cases of fraud rose by 18% to a three-year high. London and the southeast of England remained the biggest fraud hotspots in Britain, with a 170% year-on-year increase in value. Major cases last year of fraud included Entain, the owner of Ladbrokes and Coral betting chains, reaching a £585 million settlement with HM Revenue and Customs, the UK's tax authority, over alleged bribery at a business it owned in Turkey. The former Formula One boss Bernie Eccleston also pleaded guilty to fraud after being accused of failing to declare more than £400 million of overseas assets to the British government. He agreed to pay His Majesty's Revenue and Customs £652 million. The region with the second highest level of reported fraud was the East Midlands, which jumped from 12th place in 2022 to the second place. The accounting firm BDO said the true overall level of fraud was likely to be significantly higher than the £2.3 billion because statistics from the Crime Survey for England and Wales had revealed that fewer than one in seven offences are reported to the police. A report last year found that the number of people committing harmless fraud, such as cheating on their council tax charges or trying to reclaim money on lost gambling bets, had soared amid the cost of living crisis in Britain.
Iranian news, Iranian culture, Iranian voice. This is IRIB English Radio. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.